Richard, you wrote a fascinating article titled 12 Documents That Prove the U.S. Government's Interest in UFOs. What are the documents?
Yeah, they're actually, I put them on my website, complete with the JPEGs that you can enlarge and read them, and my own commentary on each of them. What my purpose was simply to start at ground zero, so to speak, and if there's a skeptical person or just an interested fence sitter who wants to know what's all the fuss about, why does a guy like myself look at the government involvement in UFOs? Well, this is a pretty good place to start. These are various U.S. military documents, intelligence documents, that go from the 1940s through the 1990s that we know of, that describe events, dealing with UFOs that are, again, like I was saying earlier, not necessarily proof that all UFOs are alien, but certainly proof that these are serious matter. The first one that I have listed is, again, for research, is a well-known one, the 1947 memo by General Nathan Twining of Air Materiel Command. Twining later became chief of staff of the Air Force. At this point, he had 3 stars on his lapel, and he was answering a question from another general, essentially, who had asked him in late summer 1947, are these flying saucers anything we need to deal with? And Twining essentially wrote back and said, yes, as a matter of fact. In other words, we're not making them. He described in great detail the nature of the military reports that describe these. The most interesting ones is that the objects, he said, were generally silent, had a metallic or light-reflecting surface, left no trail, were circular or elliptical in shape. And then the best part was that they were often flat on the bottom, domed on the top.
Yeah.
In 1947, let's get real here, what could look like that? He didn't say in this memo that these were alien craft invading the Earth, but again, they are interesting. There's an FBI memo from 1949 sent to J. Edgar Hoover it's fascinating, really.
And these are authenticated, right? These documents?
Oh, they are. Yeah. They are not disputed documents. These all came out of U.S. National Archives frequently during the glory era of the Freedom of Information Act in the late 70s. And people can just go through them. My website is keyholepublishing.com. I've got the documents there. Anyone can read them. Intelligence reports through the 1950s. One of them is a CIA memo. It went to the director, Walter Beadle Smith, by his director of scientific intelligence. And their statement here, and this is just a couple of sentences. I would love to read this. This is in December 1952. H. Marshall Chadwell, the director of scientific intelligence, is writing to the director of the CIA, and he's saying, at this time, the reports of incidents convince us that there is something going on that must have immediate attention. He goes on and says, sightings of unexplained objects at great altitudes and traveling at high speeds in the vicinity of major U.S. defense installations are of such nature that they are not attributable to natural phenomena or known types of aerial vehicles. Now, that's a big mouthful there. Keep in mind, this is a bureaucratic document. It's not like he's going to say, boss, I think we're being invaded. But how much closer do you want? This is a very important statement made in 1952, and there's many, many others. I have one here from 1966 describing an intrusion at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota that, fascinating. Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, 1967, in which a large glowing something was above nuclear missiles and shut a whole bunch of them offline, appeared to shut them offline. A lot of people are familiar with Air Force Officer Robert Salas in connection with that case, and Robert has spoken at length. We have documents describing that.
And these are incredible cases.
They're awesome. A couple from the mid-70s. I mentioned the 1975 overflights. I got one dealing with that. The amazing encounter over Tehran that we spoke about earlier. Got the Defense Intelligence Agency documents here for people to read. Incredible. The Halt memo. This is the Rendlesham case from Colonel Charles Halt describing that. Very interesting. People should know. Here's one that's very little known that I think is one of the best cases. I almost should have mentioned it earlier. A 1988 case involving the U.S. Coast Guard right near at the shore of Lake Erie in March of 1988, right near the town of Eastland, Ohio. We have the Coast Guard document that describes it. We also have a great deal of independent witness testimony. Very strong case. What happened is that this object was over the frozen part of Lake Erie, hovered low over it, and cracked the ice, apparently due to the heat that it was emitting, sent out a bunch of, described by witnesses anyway, smaller objects that did all kinds of zipping around the skies. Fascinating case, and we have a Coast Guard document. After that, the Coast Guard and other government agencies issued a dismissal of the case as astronomical. I think it was Jupiter, they said.
That was Jupiter, cracked ice, right?
Lame. As my kids would say, that's lame, man. And then the last one that I include is the UFOs over Belgium in 1989, 1990. This is a series of U.S. Defense Department documents that describe those events. What we had there is what appeared to be a perfectly triangular craft, or multiple of these crafts, I believe, that people had seen, lots of witnesses. These objects doing things, again, that ordinary aircraft just can't do in terms of the slow speeds, the rapid acceleration, changes in altitude very rapidly, and so forth. Belgian Royal Air Force tried to intercept on one occasion, one night, with two F-16s, and they just utterly failed. And we've got this documentation here. So, you know, none of them by themselves, as I keep emphasizing, prove that these are aliens. But again, what I would suggest is that any reasonable mind, when looking at these cases, has to be asking, what does this mean? Why are the militaries of the world chasing these objects if there's nothing to them? This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
And with the chase, to me, it sounds like they are concerned about them. You don't chase things you're not concerned about, Richard.
Yes, excellent point. I think that's very true. And so my conclusion is that there's some kind of trouble in paradise here that we're not being told about. And this is one of the elements, incidentally, when people talk about disclosure, or sometimes people use the phrase exopolitics, I try to remind people that if you're going to have a true study of exopolitics, that is presumably the relation of us and them, whoever them happened to be, that part of the things that have to be taken into account here is that we have some kind of confrontation going on that has been continuing at some level for over 60 years. And so that's an important element of this relationship, is this continual confrontation. Now, I'm not saying who are the good guys and who are the bad guys here. I don't know enough to say. But I do think that this is not simply a case, okay, where we can just open our arms here and welcome these other beings, whoever they are, without a very careful inspection of who and what they are.
What do you think is going on, Richard? What's your gut tell you?
Here's my gut, all right? This is just me speaking as a person who has studied this, but my feeling is that we human beings and this planet, Earth, are both of supreme interest to other intelligences that have somehow found a way to observe us and to be here. I mean, look, not only do we have a really phenomenal planet, we've got water, we've got all of this life.
We've got everything. We've got genetic
diversity. Oh, right. Minerals. This is a great place. And I have to assume that other life forms would be aware of just how great this place is. But the other thing is humanity itself. There are a lot of researchers in this field, and I think they disparage us really more than is warranted.